Morning of today's daf and brachos samach aleph. We're starting at the two dots towards the bottom of samach amud beis, about 15 lines from the bottom. The amud chayv adam levarech. Person is obligated to bless the Kaddish Baruch Hu, give a bracha towards the Kaddish Baruch Hu for both the good and the bad, and it's kishem. In other words, there has to be some sort of parallel, some sort of symmetry in terms of giving a bracha to Kaddish Baruch Hu. The Gemara wants to know precisely what does that mean. So chayv adam levarech, my chayv levarech, ala ra kishem shemavarech ala hatova. So simple pshat in the Mishnah, what does it mean? Ilei mekishem shemavarech ala hatova, tov v'ametiv kach mevarech ala ra, tov v'ametiv. So the Gemara first suggests, well, maybe it's the same bracha. And just like I make a tov v'ametiv over good, so that I should do the same thing over bad as well. V'hatanam, but the Gemara says, but that's not true. Meaning you just read on in the Mishnah and you know that's not true. Abasuras tov v'somar atov v'ametiv. If it's good news, so you say atov v'ametiv. Abasuras ra, somar baruch dynamis. And for bad news, you say dynamis. So the brachas are not the same. So amar Rav lo nitzucha el kabluni besimcha. So Rav says it must be that the pshat is how you accept the news. So you have to accept the news, both good news and bad news, in the same manner. Meaning all understanding that tashkacha pratis, it's all coming based on divine providence. HaKadosh Baruch Hu orchestrated your life so that this is going to be the situation that you're facing at this very moment in time. And you have to be mekabel and you have to accept it. And let's just add the important word of the Gemara, kabel besimcha. I mean, you have to accept it with joy. Obviously, for good news, that's easy. For bad news, that's not easy, but that's exactly the avodah. That's exactly what the Mishnah is asking us to do. So Amar Rav Acha Mishum Rabbi Leva Maikra, psukim that speak to this idea. So the Gemara is going to quote an assortment of psukim. Number one, a pasuk in Tehillim, Chesed and Mishpat Ashir Lecha. So I'm going to sing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for Chesed and Mishpat. Hashem Azamraim Chesed Ashira. Now if it's Chesed, so I'm going to sing in Mishpat Ashira. And if it's Mishpat, I'm going to sing as well. And under both occasions, I'm going to sing. Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmin Amar Mehacha Bashem Alal Davar. Balokim Alal Davar. Bashem Alal Davar. So if it's Elohim, so I'm going to sing. And if it's Hashem, I'm going to sing. And we know that the Shem Hashem, that the names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu represent various midos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the various characteristics. The Shem Hashem, that's more of a midas harachamim. The Elohim, that's more of a midas hadin. And nevertheless, in both cases, ahalel, I'm going to sing. So zumi da tova belokim alel davar zumi da peronius. Okay, and the Gemara makes exactly that point. Rabbi Tancha Mar Mehacha, another pasuk speaking to this idea, Kosushu Asesa, Uvishem Hashem Akra. Tsar V'yagon Emsa V'shem Hashem Akra. Okay, so again, another assortment of psukim in Tehillim, that if it's Kosushuos, if I'm experiencing Yeshua, so then you sing. And if it's Tsar V'yagon, so again, same thing, Hashem Hashem Akra. V'rabban Amar Mehacha, here's another selection, Hashem Nasem Hashem Akachi, Hashem Hashem Avarach. So a Kadosh Baruch Hu gives, a Kadosh Baruch Hu takes away in both situations. So you have to praise a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Am Rav Huna, Am Rav Mishum Rebbe Meir, V'chein Tanim Mishmei de Rebbe Akiva, La'olam Yehe Adon Ragal Amar, called the Avid Rachmana, L'tav Avid. Here is the Gemara. Rebbe Akiva says that a person should be accustomed to saying that everything a Kadosh Baruch Hu does is L'tav, it's for good. Ki Had Rebbe Akiva, the Gemara tells a story today. In today's daf, we're going to be saying two, I'd say, the most famous stories regarding Rabbi Akiva. Here's number one. Davakaza Baorcha, Rabbi Akiva was going on the way. Matalai Masi got to a city. Bayushpuzi, he's looking for an inn to sleep in overnight. Lo Yavilei, and they didn't give it to him. No vacancy over the course of the entire city. Amr called Abdur Rahman Latav. So, again, so he says it now, right? The mantra. Everything that Kadosh Baruch Hu does is for the best. So Azel Ubas Bidabra. So he goes and he sleeps in Dabra. The word Bas, by the way, is an Aramaic word, which means to lie down to sleep. We've seen that word already a number of times. Remember, we had this word, we encountered it when we were talking about eating, the possibility of eating after Havdalah, right? If you didn't make Havdalah, right? That was a Gemara in Pesachim. We just saw the Tosfos recently. Anyway, so Azel Ubas Bidabra. So he went and he slept in the forest. Vahava Bahadei, now accompanying him, he had Tarnagola. He had a rooster. The Chamri, he had a donkey, and Shraga, and he had a fire. So, also Zika Kavila Shraga. So, along comes a wind and knocks out the fire. It's this is preparation for Chagadya. So, along comes a wind and knocks out the fire. Also, Shruna Achle La Tarnagola. And along comes a cat, if you prefer just the imagery, like a lion, but whatever, and eats his Tarnagola and eats his rooster. Also, Arye Achle La Chamra. And the lion comes and eats his donkey. So, Amr called Avid Rachman Latav Bay. Kadosh Baruch Hu, everything he did was for the best. Balayla asa gaisa shavye lamasa. And what happens is overnight marauders came into the city. Amr luhu lav amr luhu. And the point is that if he would have had all those things with him, if he would have had the fire and the braying donkey and the crowing rooster, so then he would have been discovered and he would have been attacked as well. So Amalu Lav Amalechu Kol Masha Oseh Kadosh Baruch Hu Hakol L'Tova. Everything Kadosh Baruch Hu does is for Tova, right? We may not be Zocher, by the way. Right? The story has a wonderful ending to it, and so Rabbi Kiva saw right away how it was all a Tov. So we may not have that schus of seeing it right away, but again, the point of the Gemara is everything is L'Tov. Amar Rav Huna Amar Rav Mishum Rabbi Meir Lo'olam Yehu Advarav Shal Adamu Atim Lifnei Hakadosh Baruch Hu. So the Gemara now quotes another Memra from Rav Huna Amrav in the name of Rabbi Meir, and that is that when you speak to Kadosh Baruch Hu, make it brief, keep it concise, right? The Rashi does not comment on the point over here, but probably what the Gemara means in the context of what we're talking about is that when something bad is happening to you, we happen to like, it's just one of our preoccupations, so we happen to like to complain. It's something that we enjoy doing. And probably in the context of that, the Gemara basically saying, keep it brief, meaning don't complain because Hakol Tova. I assume that's the segue of the previous Gemara to this Gemara over here. So keep your words brief. So, Mu'atim Lefnei Kadosh Baruch Hu, Shenemar, Al Tival Apicha V'Libcha Al Yimaher Lo'otzi Davar Lefnei Elokim, Ki Elokim B'Shamayim V'Atal Ha'aretz Ha'kein Yud Dvarecha Mu'atim. And really, the truth of the matter is, it's just simple pshat in the Pasuk in Koheles. Right, the pasuk says that keep yourself to the point and be brief. And Akash Baruch Hu's up there, and you're down here. And I guess again, in the context of what we're saying, you're down here, and you have a limited scope of what you see. Akash Baruch Hu's up there, and he has a much greater picture of what he sees. Much greater. He's omniscient. But in other words, but relative to you, it's you can't compare. And so don't complain. He knows what he's doing. Darsh Rav Nachman Archista Ma'idichsev the pasuk Vayitzar Hashem Elokim Es HaAdam. So you look at the word Vayitzar, Kadosh Baruch Hu, the creating Adam Arishon, and Vayitzar is with two yuds. And the Gemara is going to be spending a lot of time in today's daf trying to explain this anomaly that the word Vayitzar is with two yuds. B'shnei yudim shtei yitzarim, Baruch Kadosh Baruch Hu, Eched Yetzer Tov, Eched Yetzer Hara. So the two yuds represent the two yetzers, the Yetzer Tov and the Yetzer Hara. So Maskel v'Rav Nachman Vayitzar Gala Mi'ata Behema Deloksi Vayitzar Leisa Yitzra. So the Gemara says now, when it comes to the creation of animals, the pasuk doesn't say the word vayetzer. And so what are you trying to tell me now, that an animal doesn't have a yetzer? Now, an animal doesn't have a yetzer tov, but an animal for sure has a yetzer hara. V'akachazin and demizka v'nashcha uvata. So we see that an animal is tremendously destructive. So it bites, it kicks, it does general destruction. So of course an animal has a yetzer, not two that you and I have, but it has a yetzer, ela kedra v'shimah mempazi. So the Gemara now is going to seek an alternative explanation in terms of why it is that there are two yuds in Vayitzar. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi, Oili miyotzri, Oili miyitzri. So Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi says, I have two yuds I have to worry about, my yotzer and my yitzri. Rashi over here writes, Rashi second line on the Amud, Oili miyotzri, imelech achar yitzri. So woe to my yotzer. My yotzer is my creator, Kadosh Baruch Hu. And woe to my yotzer if I follow my yitzer, meaning my yitzer ra. V'im lo elech, and Rashi continues, V'im lo elech acharav oili miyitzri, hami'igenim bihir harim. And if I follow my yotzer, so my creator, so then my yetzer hara keeps bothering me with hir harim. And so basically I'm caught between the two of them. And that's just the human condition, that we are stuck between wanting to please the Kadosh Baruch Hu, wanting to please the yetzer hara, and that's just a good description of the human condition. Inami. No. Kadosh Baruch Hu created the Yetzer Hara from the beginning. Exactly where the Yetzer Hara was, so already that's... The Gemara doesn't speak about this, but the Rishonim speak about this. The Yetzer Hara could have been manifested outside of the body, not internally. Okay, the Rambam speaks like this idea. Anyway, but no. The Yetzer Hara was there from creation. Inami kidu Rav Yirmiyah ben Elazar, damar Rav Yirmiyah ben Elazar, doper tzufim, barak Kadosh Baruch Hu ba'adam Rishon. Or maybe it goes like this. The two Yuds represent the fact that when Adam and Chava were created, they were created one entity with two pirtzufim, two faces. Okay, I know it's very difficult to imagine what this would look like, considering the fact that we have no experience of what this would look like. So it's just hard to imagine. But I mean, obviously, yeah, every one of us in our heads are going to try to conjure up what a picture of that would look like. Okay, but that's the Gemara's two yuds of Vayitzar. Shenemar achor v'kadam tzarasani. And the Gemara quotes the pasuk from Tehillim, and the pasuk says that achor v'kadam, right? Back and front, meaning that the human being originally was created by Kadosh Baruch Hu with a front and a back, meaning two sides to it, meaning to Shtei Partzufim. Adam and Chava were created one single entity. We're going to be exploring this idea in greater detail over the course of today's daf. Vayivan Hashem Elokim Asat Tzela. Kadosh Baruch Hu created her from the Tzela. Now, Tzela goes translated, you know, open up a Chumash, you'll see translation. But the Gemara over here now has a debate exactly what the word Tzela means. Rav Shmuel Chadamar Partzuf. So Rav Shmuel debate this very issue. And this is a normal construct of the Gemara, where the Gemara tells us who the two opinions are, but the Gemara does not assign attribution of which said which position. So the Gemara says, Rav and Shmuel are arguing, and the two sides are like this. One is that the Tzela is a partzuf, meaning just like we described, that Adam and Chava created one entity with two parts of him, and what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did is he split the two, and we were co-joined, and we were then separated. Chadamar Zanav. And the other position is no, that the Tzela is just referring to an appendage. Right? Adam Arishon had an extra appendage. Now, people are at liberty in terms of explaining what that extra appendage is. Admittedly, the Gemara does use the word Zanav, which sounds like a tail. But over here, in the context of the Gemara, it just simply means an appendage. So there was an extra appendage somewhere in Adam Arishon, and so that was taken off, and from there, Chava was formed. And the Gemara now is going to try to support each of these two positions. So the idea that there were Shtei Partzufim and the Tzela that was broken off from Adam was just simply the other side. So that's very good, because we just saw the Pasuk in Tehillim that supports this idea. But if you want to say that Adam Rishon had an extra appendage, meaning Adam Rishon when created was really Adam, just it, and it was just an appendage that was taken off, that's fine, but what do you do with the Pasuk in Tehillim? So my Achor v'Kadam Tzarasani. It's a good question. The Gemara answers. Kid Rabbi Ami, Damar Rabbi Ami, Achor la Maisa Breshis, V'Kadam la Peranios. So Chava was the Achor. She was Adam and Chava were the last things that created. But meanwhile, when it came to being punished, so they were number one. So the Gemara now wants to explore this idea. Bishlam Achor la Maisa Breshis, Delo Ivri Ad Male Shabasa. So great. I understand. They were the last of creation. You go through Maisa Breshis and you'll see that Adam and Chava were created last. That part I get. But Elakadnal and Pranios, Pranios Demai. But the first ones in terms of being punished, that's not true. Elam and Pranios Denachash Vatanya, Rabbi Omer, Begadola Matchalim and Agadol, Uviklal Matchalim and Akatan. So we have a Brisa. The Brisa says that when it comes to Gedula, so when it comes to assigning greatness, so you start with the Gadol. And when it comes to Klala, when it comes to giving curses, so you start with the katan. Bigdula matchilim and agadol dichsivay deber Moshe el Aharon v'el Elazar v'el Itamar banav hanosarim k'chuv etc. So when it comes now to a point, Aaron is Kohen Gadol, and the installment of Aaron. So first you mention Aaron a Kohen, and then Elazar, and then Isamar. So you see, in terms of assigning greatness, you start from the top. Bigklala matchilim and a katan. So, but when it comes to giving curses, so you start at the smallest. And you go up from there. B'tchila niskalalel nachash. Look how it worked when it comes to the Kadosh Baruch Hu doling out the punishments after Chet Harishon. First the nachash got punished. Levesof niskalal chava. Levesof niskalal adam. So it goes nachash chava adam. So Ella pranis amabel. So the Gemara says fine. So that's not a good example. In fact, not only is it not a good example, it indicates just the opposite. When the Kadosh Baruch Hu curses, so the punishment is given out going from the Katan to the Gadol. So the Gemara says, okay, I'll give you another example where we do see this. Kadosh Baruch Hu starts from the Gadol, and that's El Paranus to Mabul. It comes to the Mabul. Now, over here in the Mabul, so everybody's punished at the same time, but in terms of the way it's presented in the Psukim, it's going to be first the humans and then the animals. Dichsiv. Vayimachis kolei kol masher apnei Adam ami Adam ve'ad behema. From Adam to Behema. So obviously, there is not going to be differentiation in terms of who gets punished first. But the point is that we start with Adam and we go to Behema. Bereisha Adam, Adam Behema. Okay. So that is where we see this idea play out. So again, now we are debating exactly what the Tzela is of Adam Rishon that was taken off of Adam Rishon in order to make Chava. So again, your two basic positions are it's Shtei Partzufim, that Adam and Chava were really both entities that were singularly comprised and then subsequently divided. Or that, no, it was really Adam that was created, and the Tzela is just simply an appendage that was to Adam that was taken off from Adam. And the Gemara continues to debate this issue. Bishlam alaman davar partsof hainu dichsi vayitzer b'shnei yudim. Now, the idea of partsof, so that's very good, because we just went over, just minutes earlier, the idea that there are two yuds in the word vayitzar, which signifies the double creation of Adam and Chava, meaning there were two entities. So, elaman davar zanav mai vayitzer. But if it's just an appendage, which means that Adam was created by himself, so what's the double yud? So the Gemara says, "Kedarav Shemem Bapazi, Damar Shemem Bapazi, Arli Miyotzi, Arli Miyitzri." So the Gemara says, "Yeah, but that's fine. We already explained that earlier. That there is another way to interpret the double yud of Ayetzer, and so good. So we don't have to explain it with the shtei partsofim. The two yuds is one for the Yetzahara, the other one is Yotzi, my Creator, and I'm stuck between the two of them." Bishlam Laman Damar Pasav Hainu Dichsev Zachar Nekeva Baram. Fine. If we're going to go with the thesis that it's shtei partsofim, that Adam and Chava are created together as one entity, so it's simple pshat in the pasuk where the Torah describes that Zachar unekeva baram, Kadosh Baruch Hu created male and female. Fine. That works out very well. Elaman d'amar zanav. But if you're saying that it was really Adam Rishon that was created, and the only thing that was taken off was just an appendage from Adam Rishon, so my Zachar unekeva baram. So then what's pshat then in the pasuk? So, Rabbi Abou Rami Ksiv. So, we're going to say that the pasuk there is teaching us a chiddush of Rabbi Abahu. Rabbi Abou notes a discrepancy between two pesukim. Ksiv Zachar Nekeva Baram. It says that Akash Baruch Hu created male and female, seemingly together. Uksiv Ki B'Tzelam Elokim Asa Es HaAdam. And we have another pasuk that says that Adam was created B'Tzelam Elokim, seemingly that Adam was created on his own. So haketzad b'tchila ala b'machshav ala bara base. So there was an original plan, and then there was a change of the original plan. Ala b'machshav, we see this kind of Gemara a couple times throughout Shas. This idea that there was an ideal, and then when put into practice, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to say, changed the plans a little bit. Obviously, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, being omniscient, understands that what the ideal was, and he knew what the change was. So it's kind of, sorry, it's really hard to relate to this idea that Akash Baruch had a change of plans. You and I have change of plans because our viewpoint is so limited, and so therefore we change plans simply because, you know, we don't know, and we're guessing, you know, educated guesses. But the idea that Akash Baruch changed plans, so obviously it's hard for us to relate to. But the idea is that there's a certain ideal, and then when Akash Baruch created it, he created it towards that ideal. But in other words, but it's not the actual ideal as of yet. So b'tchila ala b'machshav l'abar's base. So Akash Baruch Hu wanted to create two. Uv'sof l'nivra ala achad. But then he created one. So Akash Baruch Hu originally wanted to create Adam and Chava's two entities, but then realized that that's an ideal, but really what he did is he created them as one. Okay. And then obviously the Gemara over here needs a lot more explanation. Meaning, why was the ideal to create them as two? Why then did he create them as one? So the Gemara doesn't really explain anymore. Meaning the Gemara just simply gives us this presentation of Akash Baruch Hu's thought process as if we could relate to it in terms of how he created Adam and Chava. What it does, however, is it explains the discrepancy between the psukim, meaning the pasuk that says that he created them, Zachar uv'nekeva, that's talking about practically how Akash Baruch Hu created them. And then, of course, by the way, then came the split, where he split them into two. But then in terms of the ideal that he wanted to create them as two units. Okay. So, Bishlam Laman Damer parts of Haina Dichsi Vaiskor Basar Tachtena. The Gemara continues now probing which of these two positions seem to be more reasonable within the Pesukim. The idea that it was Shtei Partsofim, so that's very good because Akash Baruch Hu did major surgery and he had to close, meaning if they're Shtei Partsofim, so splitting them would mean that there's going to be a lot of surgical cleanup. So Elaman Damar Zanav, but if we're just talking about an appendage, my Vayiskor Basar Tachtena. So what does it mean, Vayiskor Basar? That he closed the Basar. In other words, it was just an appendage that he took off. But the Gemara's answer is intuitive. Everyone here probably thought about it already. And the Gemara says, Amar Rav Yirmiyahu V'Temer Rav Zid V'Temer Rav Nachman B'Rav Yitzchak Lo Nitzchak Ela Makom Chatach. Okay, so the Gemara says, good. So there's not a lot of surgical cleanup. And so, oh fine, it's just a removal of an appendage. But still, the removal of an appendage requires some suturing. So what Akash Baruch Hu did is he vayiskor basar tachtana is referring to the couple of stitches that Adam required after the appendage was removed. Bishlam laman d'amar zanav haynu dichsi vayiven. So again, the Gemara is continuing in this discussion of which of these two positions seem to be more reasonable. So if you say it was an appendage, actually that works out very well in the Psukim, because the Torah says that he built Chava. So the building of Chava would seem to indicate that you're starting off with some basic material and you build from there. So that fits in better with the appendage theory. But if you're saying that's part of my vayiven, so Chava was fully formed, and it's now just a question of splitting Adam and Chava. But there's no binyan. So the Gemara says, it's a good question. L'chad Rabbi Shimon Manasya, the Rabbi Shimon, the Darush Rabbi Shimon ben Manasya, my dechsiv, vayiven Hashem es hatzela. So the Gemara now says, fine, we're going to say that really Chava was fully built already, and now vayiven, we're just going to understand it in a different manner. How are we going to understand it? It means that what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did is he braided the hair of Chava and then presented Chava to Adam Rishon. Meaning, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was the first beautician. Now, in terms of the wording is concerned, so if you go out to the Karchayam, you go out to the islands, so you're going to hear that the way they describe braiding is using the word binyan. And this idea, the Gemara presents to us all the time, that the various languages of the world are rooted in Lashon HaKodesh, and you'll find hints to it in Lashon HaKodesh, and it's fair to interpret the Torah based on words that may not be the vernacular of Eretz Yisrael, but if in other lands they use these words, so then it's fair to interpret the Torah in such a manner. So out in the islands, they describe the braiding of hair as binyan, so you see that that's a fair way to explain the Torah. Davar Acher Vayiven, Gemara gives a different interpretation. Amrav Chisav Amelah B'Masisa Tamelah Meisha Banach Harash Baruch Hu L'Chava K'Binyan. Otzer. That the word Binyan just could be a way of describing how when HaKadosh Baruch Hu fashioned and formed Chava, so the shape of Chava is going to be like a Binyan, it's going to be like a building. Specifically that of an Otzer. And that is Ma'otzer Zer Katsar Melamala V'Rachav Melamata K'Dela Kabos Aperos Ach Isha Katsar Melamala V'Rachav Melamata K'Dela Kabos Avlan. Meaning that the formation of the woman and the woman's body is going to be functional based on the fact that she's going to be housing a child. She's going to be wider on the bottom. She's going to be narrower towards the top. Just like a silo is going to be wider on the bottom, narrower into the top. The silo's purpose is to hold the peros. And the woman's purpose is to hold the vlad inside of her. And that could be the binyan over here that's being described in the pasuk. We're almost done. Vayiveh ala adam. No, we are done. Sorry. Okay, we are done. So the Gemara now has defended both positions in terms of Vayiven Asatzela. Is it referring to Shtei Partzufim? Is it referring to Zanav? And the Gemara has successfully defended both positions. And Elu Ve'elu. Okay, we continue. As long as we're describing Maisa Breishis, creation of Adam and Chava, the Gemara continues. Vayivieha El HaAdam. She's brought to Adam. Am Rabbi Yirmiyah ben Elazar Malamit Shenasek Hashem Baruch Hu Shush Bin LaAdam Arishon. So who was Adam Arishon's best man? Okay, I'm sorry, I'm using modern language to describe the Gemara over here, but basically the one who made all the wedding arrangements, right? The wedding planner. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu this morning has been so far a beautician, he's been a wedding planner, and the point the Gemara is making, and the Gemara is going to say it, meaning I don't even have to give any kind of real analysis over here, is that these seem like menial jobs. They seem like who wants to participate in these kinds of jobs? And when the Gemara is teaching us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu participate in these activities, it means that they're important jobs. They're critical jobs. And we shouldn't feel like we're above these kinds of these jobs. Here I told you, the Gemara spells it out. The person shouldn't say to himself, I'm wedding planning, right? Invitations, right? Like, please don't involve me in that. I'm sorry, I hear a lot of myself in that. In other words, I'll be there. Just tell me where to be and I'll be there. I know. But the Gemara says, but that's exactly the point. We shouldn't feel that way. And we should be active participants in all the wedding arrangements. Well, the mandam are parts of Haiminai Usagi Bereisha. Okay. The Gemara now returns back to this idea of the partsuf. And so, again, it's hard for us to picture, but right to the best of our ability, that Adam and Chava were side-by-side creations as one entity, as one unit. So who walked in the front and who walked in the back? Okay. So, Amar of Nachmar Yitzhak Mistabra, the Gavra Sagi Bereisha. So the man walked in the front. Titania, and the Gemara here learns a halachic point from this. Lo yihalech Adam achari Isha b'derech. A person should not be walking behind a woman while they are traveling. Ve'afilu ishto, and even if it's your own wife. Nizdamna ala geshiyas akena l'tzadim. Now, let's say you're traveling on a bridge, and there's a woman who is in front of you, so go off to the side. And the point the Gemara is making, we think, what's the big deal? It's a bridge. So our bridges are pretty strong and structurally sound. Right back in the day, so going on the side of the bridge was not exactly the safest place to be on the bridge. And that's exactly the point of the Gemara, that despite the fact that it's not as safe and secure, but better being there than directly behind a woman. Now, if you're traveling behind a woman by Nahar, where a woman is going to be in an immodest fashion, she is lifting up her skirt in order to walk through the water, so, and you're in that situation, so the person does not have Olam Haba. In other words, the obvious point of the Gemara is that it incites the Hurim, and it gets the Yetzahara going, and those are positions that you should avoid. Let's say a person is now making change with a woman, and he's counting out the coins, and he's putting in her hands, but he's doing so in a slow pace, just so he has extra time to look at her. So, afilu yesh biyado Torah masim tovim kemoshe Rabbeinu. And you know how the Gemara gets in terms of making a point. The Gemara is going to be very strong in making a point. And over here, no exception. So the Gemara says, you can have Torah, you can have Maisa Tovim. And it could be like Moshe Rabbeinu, and lo yinakeh midin shalei Gehenna. But still, a person is going to be answering for that kind of behavior. Shenemar yad liyad lo yinakeh ra. Lo yinakeh midin shalei Gehenna. A person, yad liyad, in the context of a Gemara, from hand to hand, meaning he's giving her change. Now, giving a woman change is fine. It's the intent and the slow handing of the coins to her hands, just so he can spend more time with her, just so he can look at her some more. So for that, lo yinakeh midin shel gehenim. Amrav Nachman Manoach Amar Tzaya. So the father of Shimshon Manoach. So the Gemara describes him as an Ama Aretz. How do I know that? Dichsiv vayelech Manoach acharei ishto. So he seems to violate the most basic principle that we just outlined, and that is that he followed his wife. Now it could be that over here, following does not mean literally. Following could just simply mean that he followed her advice. In fact, what I'm offering over here is not only a simple pshat in the pasuk, but the Gemara itself is going to come around and suggest that that really could be the pshat in the pasuk. But right now, in the context of our Gemara, you understand. So, maskif la Rav Nachman Yitzchak Alameata gabi alkana dechsi vayelech alkana acharei ishto v'gabi elisha dechsi vayikam vayelech achareha. And so the Gemara says, okay, but I'll point to personalities in Tanakh who we know were outstanding personalities in Tanakh, and they're following women, and don't tell me that they're literally physically following a woman. So hachinami achrei mamash, ela achrei devera v'achrei atzasa. It just simply means that they're following their advice. Hachinami achrei devera v'achrei atzasa. So we could say the same thing by Manoach. He was just following his wife's advice. That could be the pshat. And so we don't have to confine ourselves to the pshat that he was an amaret. Now, by the way, the Gemara's point still could be have truth to it, but that proof isn't necessarily a proof. In fact, the Gemara still wants to defend its original position that he was a Amaretz. He doesn't even know Pesukim in the Torah. Shenemar v'takam rifkav v'narosev v'tirkavna al ha-gimalim v'telachna acharei ha-ish. And she followed the man. She didn't go in front. So let's say you have a choice now, where you can either be following a lion or following a woman. So obviously the choice should be a lion. I say obviously. I know it's not obvious. That's exactly why the Gemara is saying it. Now, given the choice between Isha or Akum, so here Isha and not the Akum. Achori Akum v'lo Achori Beis HaKnesses. Behind the Akum or the Beis HaKnesses, behind the Akum and not the Beis HaKnesses. Bishash Atzibra Mispalim. Meaning, if you are behind the show, this is an idea which we expressed towards the very beginning of this Masechta. So we're going now here full circle to what we learned. Daf Ches. This idea of walking behind the show while people are davening. It is, as affronts go, it's one of the biggest affronts where everybody's davening and you're just walking and you're passing right by the show, and not having no regard whatsoever to the fact that they're davening to Kadosh Baruch Hu and you're just walking right behind the shul. And that kind of affront, that kind of insult, is greater than walking behind an Akum, an Ari, an Isha, meaning it's the greatest affront. But then the Gemara points out, and these points that we're about to make are a review of what we did early in the Masechta. V'lo amarin ela delo darimidi. That's only if you're not carrying something. Meaning if you happen to be carrying something, so it's understood that right now you're making productive use of your time, and it's not that you are you're defiantly ignoring Tefillah B'Tzibur. V'idari midi le'sanva. V'lo amarin ela deleka pischa achrina. V'iika pischa achrina le'sanva. Now let's say there's another entrance, and people see you walking by this entrance. So at least now they have a chance to be malam etzchos. Okay, he walked by this entrance because he's going to go to the other entrance. V'lo amarin ela delo rechiv chamra. V'lo rechiv chamra le'sanva. Now if you're riding a donkey, so everyone understands that right now you're clearly en route to doing something. So if you're riding a donkey, there's no issue. And also, this is only going to be an issue if you're not wearing tefillin. But if you're wearing tefillin, so everyone understands right now that you are with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're not being defiant. It's just right now, for whatever reason, you're heading somewhere else. So the defiancy is only going to be a real defiancy only if you are clearly opting with something else other than going to shul. But if you are clearly doing something else productive, so then you don't have to worry about this because people now have an opportunity to be melamed zchus on you. Amrav Yetzahara Domlos Vuv. The Yetzahara, it's similar to that of a fly. V'yoshev mein shnei miftechei aleif. And it's sitting there right between the two openings of the heart. Shenemer zvuvei maves yavish yabia shamein rokeach. So this idea that it's like a little fly. And the idea behind the Gemara over here is that it's something really small, almost imperceptible, and it sits there right on the heart, and the heart is where all the action is happening. So let's continue. Ushmul amar kimin chitahu dome. It's like a wheat kernel. Again, it's the same basic idea. It's something small, nearly imperceptible, and it sits right there. Dome shenemar lefeta chatas roveitz. It's interesting. The word chatas over here, the Gemara is darshaning the word chatas, similar to the word chita. Tan rabbanan shtei klais yesh lo ba'adam achas yo atzasot letova, v'achas yo atzasot lera'a. There are two kidneys that a person has. One is providing good etza, and the other one is providing bad etza. U'mistabra zetova liyamin v'ra la smola. Now, the Gemara says here's where the more reasonable position to be is that the right one is providing the good advice, and the left one, the poor advice. Dichsiv lev chacham liyamino v'lev tzil l'smolo. I saw this Gemara yesterday in preparation. I got so excited. So I contacted my friend Rabbi Shabtai, who gave one of his kidneys away. And I asked him. I asked one which one he gave up. He said, it's a no-brainer. He gave his left one away. Now, he also told me, those of you who do not know, he's a medical doctor. So he also told me that it's more accessible. Okay. But aside from but anyway, they give the left one away. Okay. Of course, the person who is now receiving it, right? The person now who is receiving it, so he's now again receiving an extra left kidney.
They put it in the right section.
And they put in the right section?
No, I'm just kidding.
Okay, Tanu Rabban, I was just so excited. Okay, these next lines of Gemara are going to be very difficult for me to explain. I will not. I'm just going to simply read and translate. The Gemara is assigning basic human emotions are specific to particular organs. And so the Gemara is going to assume that there's some sort of correlation between various organs of the body. Now, again, we have this modern view of the human body, that the human body is basically functional. And it just provides the basic physiology that a human person can exist and live by. And in terms of all of our emotions, it's all seated in the brain. Okay, that's a modern view of the human being. Fine. The Gemara is going to assume that there is a deep connection between various organs and various human characteristics and personalities. And truth of the matter is that even before I just gave this wonderful introduction, we just saw it in the Gemara. Meaning the Gemara says that the kidneys is what's providing advice. Okay, fine. And, you know, I'm sure there are really inventive, creative ways to explain the Gemara, you know, even in light of our modern view. But I'm just going to read the Gemara and explain it. And then if you want to come to me afterwards and explain to me the Gemara to the best of your understanding, I'm open. Tanu Rabbanan. The Gemara quotes now the following brisa: Klayos Yoatzos. So it is the kidneys that's providing advice. Lev Mevin, and it's a heart that understands. It's an interesting Rashi over here. Lev Mevin. Rashi says that, in other words, the kidneys are just simply providing the advice in terms of making the executive decision. So executive functioning is coming from the heart. That's the way Rashi understands this relationship between Klayos Velev. Lashon Mechatech. It's the tongue that articulates the words. Per Gomer. It's the mouth that finishes. The esophagus is what is ingesting all the food. Kaneh, motzi kol. The windpipe is providing the sound. Rea shoev is called minei mashkin. It's the lungs which are drawing in all the liquid. Kaved koes, it's the liver that is going to be the seat of anger. Mara zarekas botipo minechaso, the gallbladder is going to be throwing a little bit of bile right in there in order to assuage the anger that's coming from the liver. Tchol socheik, the spleen is providing us joy. Karkavan tochein, the intestines are the one that is grinding up the food. Keva yeshena, it is the stomach that provides for a sleep. Okay, happens to be that. Okay, when right. Okay, fine. Okay, anyway, the af naor, and it's the nose that keeps us awake. So neor hayashan yashan haneor, and let's say that's out of balance. Right, the one that should be awake is sleeping. The one that's sleeping should be awake. Nimuk v'holech lo. So that's terrible for a person. And that basic idea of the Gemara over here is that simply we need for functionality. So you need balance between all these organs that are working in orchestra together. Let's continue. Tana, im shneim yishenim o shneim naorim yad meis. Now, if they are both out of sync and they're both sleeping or they're both awake, so the person dies instantaneously. Tanya Rabbi Yosef Galil Omer Tzadikim Yetzer Tov Shof Tan. Shenemar, when it comes to the tzaddikim, so the Yetzer Tov is what is going to be guiding them. Shenemar, v'libi chalal bikirbi, that my heart is chalal, it's empty, meaning that right now I'm operating just with the Yetzer Tov. Rishayim Yetzer Hara Shoftan, and as far as the Yetzer Hara, I'm sorry. As far as the Rishayim are concerned, it's the Yetzer Hara, which is guiding them. Shenemar, nu'm peshel harasha bikirbo libi, ein pached elokim l'neged einav, and beinonim zevezeh shoftan. Now, for the regular person, so he's being guided by both. Shenemar Yamoli Minav Yonlo Shiemi Shoftenav Show. Okay, so the Gemara gives, and when describing the Yetzer Tov Yetzer Hara, so the Gemara gives this like three categories where you have the extremes, and then you have the middle category. Okay, obviously it's, you know, we all have human experiences, and we all also are human beings ourselves, so we understand it's a little bit more like a spectrum than it is these three simple categories. But the idea is that the more of a tzaddik you are, the more you are inclined towards your Yetzer Tov, etc., etc. Amar Rava Kagon Anu Beinonim. So Rava says that, you know, Rava's saying this, the Amora. Rava's saying, you know, so I lie in this middle category. I'm somewhere in the middle. So Amar Le Abaye Lo Shavik Mar Chai L'Chol Birya. So Abaye says to Rava, where does that leave the rest of us? You're a Beinoni? So where's the rest of us now? V'amar Rava Lo Ivre Ama Ela Rishi Gemura L'Sadiki Gemura. Alma was created. Now, Alma, I would translate as this world, but it's kind of hard to explain it that way. The Alma over here, whatever. It's a difficult Gemara. I'll leave it at that. I'm fine saying it's just a difficult Gemara to understand. So the world was created for two types, for the Rishayim Gemurim and for the Tzadikim Gemurim. Amar Rava Leid Deinish Benafshayim Tzadik Amorim Lav. And Rava says the person should know if he's a Tzadik Amor or if he's not. Leida inish benafshe, a person should know. I would assume generally a person does know whether he's a Rasha Gamor or a Tzadik Gamor. But anyway, very very cryptic and difficult Gemara is giving us these absolute categories of what is a Tzadik and what is a Rasha. And admittedly, they're just difficult Gemaras. Amar Rav Lo Ivre Ama Ela La'achav Ben Amri Ula Rabbi Chanina Ben Dosa. And going along these lines, Rav says, the world was created for the extremes, for Achav and for Rabbi Chanina. So Achav ben Amri, Ha'olam Hazeh. Now for Achav ben Amri, so that's this world. Achav, of course, being one of the wicked kings of the north. And Rabbi Chanina ben Doso, who we just had experience earlier in the Masechta with. So Ha'olam Haba. So he is going to be treated to Olam Haba. Again, what exactly the Gemara is trying to communicate over here. So I'm admitting that I am limited in my understanding of what the Gemara just taught us. And what exactly just happened, these last lines of Gemara. So I'm just sharing with you that they're difficult and I don't fully understand what the Gemara is trying to communicate. Ve'aftos Hashem Elokecha. Okay, and I know we have a lot more daf to do, but we're finishing up the daf because this is going to be one of the most famous stories that the Gemara Brachos is going to relate to us. Everybody here, I assume, already knows the story. And I mentioned today we have two stories with Rabbi Akiva. One is Koman Da'avid Rachman Latavhu Da'avid. That was the beginning of today's daf. And now, towards the end of today's daf, we're going to talk about the end of Rabbi Kiva's life. V'yavtos Hashem Elokecha Tanya Rabbi Eliezer Omer Im Nemar Bechol Nafshecha Lama Nemar Bechol Meodecha. Im Nemar Bechol Meodecha Lama Nemar Bechol Nafshecha. Okay, this Gemara over here is recounted a couple of times throughout Shas. Four times in total. Psachim Sanhedrin Yuma, and right here in Brachos. Daf Samech Aleph. The Torah says that we have to be fully devoted to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with all of our money and with all of our soul. So, and why mention both? Because im ela im yeshecha adam shegufo chaviv alav mimamono. If a person who loves his body more than his money, so kach nemar bechol nafshecha. So that means that he has to make the ultimate sacrifice, which is his body. The im yeshecha adam shemamono chaviv alav migufo. Now, if you have the person who loves his money more than his body, and I've said this before, and I'll say it again, I'd like to meet that person. So the kach nemar bechol meodecha. So that's why it says bechol meodecha, that you have to give up all your money if that is the thing that is most dear to you. Rabbi Kiva Omer, now, by the way, parenthetically, important note over here, the Gemara doesn't give us the context. If you look in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, so there, when do you have to give up your entire life? So you look at the Gemara in Sanhedrin, obviously it's for the Gemara Chamuras, it's for the three, you know, call them cardinal sins. Yeah, right? Not the best way to describe them, but there are three Averis in the Torah where a person has to give up his life. One of them is Avodah Zarah. So the context over there in Sanhedrin, when quoting this drasha of Rabbi Eliezer, is only in the context of Avodah Zarah, of not worshipping idolatry. And then the Gemara in Sanhedrin over there talks about if it's public, if our Hesia. The Gemara over there talks about if it's Gzeres Malchus. Okay, but anyway, we don't get that context when we're reading the Gemara here in Brachos. Rabbi Kiva Omer Bechol Nafshecha, Afilo Notels Nafshecha. And Rabbi Kiva says that even if you have to give up your life, so under certain circumstances, that's what the Torah wants from us. Tanu Rabban in the Gemara quotes a Braisa. Pam Achas Gzeres Malchus Harisha Shelo Yasku Yisrael B'Torah. So the Gzeres Malchus Harisha, right, the evil kingdom. That's a reference to the Roman government. So they made a decree that the Jews shouldn't be teaching Torah. So Ba Papas Ben Yehuda Amasal Rabbi Kiva Shaya Makel Kehilas Barabim Vosik B'Torah. So Papas Ben Yehuda. Now Papas Ben Yehuda, who's going to be playing a role in the story, so he was not clear how assimilated, but an assimilated Jew living at the time. And he's watching Rabbi Akiva now, as Rabbi Akiva is basically running yeshiva, despite the fact that there is a Gzeres Malchus. So Amar Lei Akiva, Yata Misyare Mimnei Malchus. So he says, you're not afraid of the Roman government? Amar Lo, Emshalucha Mashalama Davadoma. So Rabbi Akiva says, I'll give you an analogy, a parable. Shul Shaya Ma'alech Al Gavanar. So there's a fox walking by the river. Ra'adagim Shayu Miskaptimi Makam La Makam. And he sees that the fish are running from place to place. Amar Lehem Mimnei Ma'atem Borchim. And he asks them, why are you running around? Well, there's netting all around, and people are trying to fish and trying to catch us and trying to get us out of the water. And so we're running away from the nets. So he says, so let me make the following proposal. And that is, why don't you join me? The fox says to the fish, you'll join me. And we'll live together. And then he says, "Kishim shadar avosayim avosechem," like our ancestors lived together. Now, I'm not totally clear what the fox meant by that, Yaakov, even in the analogy.
Yaakov and Israel.
I'm not sure. Yeah, could be. Amrulo, ato hu sha'omim alecha, pikeach shebechayos. So they said to the fox, you know, your reputation is that you're so smart. And the fish say to the fox, and we're here to tell you, you're not so smart. Lo pikech ata elek tipesh ata. That's the stupidest suggestion we heard. Umah b'makom chiyusanu anu mitjarim b'makom mutasein alachas kama v'kama. Look, at least in the water, so that's where we can survive. We leave the water, so we have no chance of survival whatsoever. So apanachnu achshav shanu yoshim v'oskim b'torah. And now Rabbi Akiva leaves the analogy and applies the analogy to the current situation. And that is, look, anu yoshim v'oskim b'torah. So we're learning Torah, shekazav baki, hi hu chayecha v'orech yamecha. So it is our life. It's our water. So kach im anu hochim avatli mimenu alachas kama v'kama. And now what? If we forget the Torah and discard the Torah, so for sure we're done with it. It's like a fish without water. Amru lo hayu yamim watim ashitafsu l'Rabbi Akiva v'chavshua bebeis asurim. It wasn't long afterwards where they grabbed Rabbi Akiva and they threw him into jail. V'tafsu pepas ben Yehuda v'chavshua etzlo. And they also took Pepas ben Yehudim and threw him into jail as well. The Gemara does not give us the details what exactly happened over there, but he went as well. Amar lo Papas mi aviechu lekan. So he says to him, Papas, what are you doing here? So Amar lo Ashrecha Rabbi Akiva shenitfasta al divrei Torah, oile lepapas shenitfasta al dvarim betelim. At least you, Rabbi Akiva, you're in jail for a good reason. So you were teaching Torah. Okay, so you should be proud of that. Me? I'm here for nonsense. Again, the Gemara doesn't give us the details. Bishar shehotzias Rabbi Akiva lehariga zman kriya shma haya. Now Rabbi Akiva is taken out to be killed, to be executed, and it was the time of kriya shma. Vayustorkim mebesar memesreko shel barzel. And they would comb his flesh with iron combs. Vaymekab alav ol machush shamayim. And he accepted upon himself the yoke of heaven. Amar lo tamid of Rabbeinu ad kan. And the students now asked Rabbi Akiva, this is how far you're supposed to go? Amar lam kol yamai. Ha'isa mitzara pasuk zeh. B'chol nafshecha. My whole life I was wondering and had anxiety. Because I'm wondering, would I go all this way? The Torah says, b'chol nafshecha. Afilo notas nishma secha. And I've been darshaning this my whole life. And I didn't know if we were going to ever get to this point. Amarti masai yavol yadav ekaimeno. And I always wondered in my head, if we'd ever get to this point, so would I fulfill it? V'achsha sheba liyadi lo ekaimeno. And now I have the opportunity. And I shouldn't take advantage of this opportunity. Hayamarich be'echad. Now he was mekabo ol machut shemaim. So he said Shema Yisrael. Shema Yisrael Shem Elokeinu Shem Echad. And when we got to the word echad, he was marich, he extended it. Ashiyasa nishmaso be'echad. And his soul departed when he said the word echad. Yatza baskol ve'amra. So the baskol comes out and says, Ashrecha Rabbi Akiva shiyasa nishmaso be'echad. And the baskol says that Ashrecha, Akiva, you should be fortunate that you went out be'echad. Amra malach esher slavnei kadosh baruch hu zu Torah v'zu schara. And the malach esher says that's the Torah and that's the reward that a person is going to receive. Mimesim yadcha Hashem mimesim. And the malach esher couldn't understand it. And the Gemara's point over here, I think, is very simple, meaning we certainly don't understand, but the Malachim don't understand, and that's exactly the point the Gemara wants to make. That's right, the Malachim themselves don't understand. Amalem chalkam b'chayim, all right, that's his chalik. So Yatza Baskol v'amra, Ashrecha Rabbi Kiva she'ata mezuman l'chayim haba. And the Baskol comes out and says, Ashrecha Rabbi Kiva, because you are going to be receiving a portion of the world to come. Yeah, let's go. Okay, we are going to do a little bit more halacha over the course of this morning. When you are walking within the Har HaBayis area, this goes back to the Mishnah, and the Mishnah taught us that a person should have a certain amount of yira when going to the area of the Har HaBayis. So lo yakal adam esrosho keneged shar hamizrach shehu mechuvan keneged beis kodshei hakadoshim. A person should not be frivolous when going through the Shar Mizrach, the Eastern Gate, because that has a direct line towards the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Amar Yehuda, Amar Rav, lo amru ela minat sofim vilifnim. This idea is only from when you're from sofim and interior. So when we read the Mishnah already a number of days ago, so we pointed out sofim could be a physical location, or it could just simply be a certain perimeter that surrounds the Har HaBayis area, or it could just simply mean from the time that you see the Har HaBayis. The word sofim means to see. So, open to a couple of explanations of what it could mean, but anyway, only from, you're from Sofim and interior. Uve ro'eh, and you're able to see the area, the Har HaBayis area. In Rename Amar Rabbi Abba Berei de Rabbi Chia Baraba, Hachi Amar Rabbi Yochanan Lomar, Elamin and Sofim, Lifnim, Uve ro'eh. So you have to be from the Sofim, and you have to be from the interior, and you also have to have actual visualization. Uksha'ein geder, and there's no fence. And also, there has to be Ashras HaShechina, meaning post-Churban, so you don't have the Ashras HaShechina. So then these halachas are not as much in force. If a person's relieving himself in Yehuda, now remember, back in the day, there were no bathrooms, there were no indoor plumbing. So bathroom meant an outdoor activity. And so, outdoor activity meaning that you're going to be exposing yourself outside. So when you're in Yehuda, lo yifne mizrach umarav. So you're probably going to be either to the east or to the west of Yerushalayim. And so what you don't want to do is expose either your front or your back. Both of those are inappropriate to directly face the area of the Har HaBayis. Elatzaf and Vadaron. So you should be to the north or south. Now, obviously, geographically, everything is not that simple, meaning that you could be in Yehuda and you could still be to the south. Or you could be in Yehuda and you could still be to the north of the Har HaBayis area. So, admittedly, it's right now the Gemara is giving a really simplistic view of if you're in Yehuda, so you shouldn't expose yourself to the east or west with the assumption that you're probably facing east or west. Uve Galal, now if you're in the northern area of Eretz Yisrael, lo yifne ela mizrach umarav. So there, you are now to the north of the Har Habayis area. So that means that when you go to the bathroom out in the field, so you should be facing either east or west, but not north or south, because either way, you're going to be directly exposing either your front side or your back side towards the Har Habayis area. Rav Yossi Matir. Rav Yossi Omer, lo asur ala baro, v'makum shein sham geder, uvezman shashchina shoreh. Now Rav Yossi says that any of these circumstances would be fine, because obviously if you're in the Galil, you're way out of visual sight of the Har Habayis area. And he subscribes to the idea that if you are outside of a re'iyah, so then there's no problem. The Chachamim Osrim, and the Chachamim say it's prohibited. In this brisa, we have now three opinions. We have the Tanakama, we have Rav Yossi, and we have the Chachamim. Now, Rav Yossi clearly is more Mako. He is Mako. He would allow, as long as you're behind a fence or you're outside of visual range, so he allows you to go to the bathroom in any side, in any position. Now, the Tanakam and the Chachamim are making the same point, and the Gemara wonders now out loud, well, aren't they making the identical same point? Chachamim, Aino Tanakam, but now it's Dadim. So the Gemara says, no, there is going to be a difference between them, and that's Dadim. What does that mean? Rashi writes. I'm reading the Rashi inside. Mamash. Let's say you're in Yehuda, or you're in the Galil, and you're not directly facing Yerushalayim, meaning that you are not in a direct southern line from Yerushalayim. So the Tanakama Tzadim Nami Yasiru. Now, according to the Tanakama, that also is going to be prohibited, meaning despite the fact that you are not directly north, let's say you're in the Galil, and you're not directly north of the area of the Har Habayis, you're somewhere east or westbound of that line, still, according to the Tanakama, so that is still going to be a Isser, meaning you cannot expose yourself directly north or directly south. Da nifna b'Yehuda kamar kol Yehuda mashma. V'rabbanam asrei savri keneg Yerushalayim mamish aser aval tzad demuter. And it's the Chachamim afterwards who say that no, that he limits the Isser. The Chachamim say that the only time that's going to be prohibited is if you're in direct alignment with the Har Habayis, either to the north-south of it or to the east-west of it. Tanya idach, let's continue in the Gemara, back to the Gemara. Hanifna b'Yehuda lo yivna mizrach marav el tzafim v'daron, v'gal tzafim v'daron, aser mizrach marav muter. Okay, good. The Bryce over here reviews for us the opinion of the Chachamim. Rav Yossi matir, Rav Yossi says it's fine. Shai Rav Yossi omer, lo aser ela beroa. Rav Yossi only prohibited when you have visual access to the Har Habayis area. Rav Yehuda amar bezman she'ein beis hamikdash kaim aser bezman she'ein beis hamikdash she'ein beis hamikdash kaim muter. Rav Yehuda says that when there's a beis hamikdash there's an iser, but when there's no beis hamikdash, so then would be muter. Rav Akiva oser bichol makom, and Rav Akiva ushered under all circumstances. Rav Akiva hainu tanakama. Now isn't Rav Akiva and the tanakama the same? Ika benayu chus la'aretz. So the difference between Rav Akiva and the tanakama is that the tanakama, although he includes the entire geography, but the entire geography of Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Kiva goes even one step further, and he says that this is a sensitivity, even if you're in Chutz La'aretz. Rabbi Avashanjilei Livne Mizrach Umarav. Rava, when he would set up his bricks, meaning his outhouse and the bricks that he would be sitting on, so he had them configured in an east-western trajectory. Azal Abai Shadino Tzafon V'Daron. So Abai comes and he does a 90-degree turn of the bricks. Now has them facing north-south. Al Rabbi Tarsino. And Rabbi says, no. He wants them east-west. Now, why specifically did he want them east-west? Unclear, but that's how he wanted it. Amraman Haiman de Kamitsarli. And Rabbi says, who's playing around with my bathroom? Meaning, who's changing the facing of the bricks? Anak Rabbi Kiva Sferli de Amra Bechol Makom Aser. I subscribe to the viewpoint of Rabbi Kiva, and Rabbi Kiva says that this is an issue, not only in Eretz Yisrael, but Chutz Aretz as well. Now, it's interesting. The Gemara, this is where the geography gets a little bit tricky. Because the Gemara assumes all the time that Bavel is to the north of Eretz Yisrael, and so therefore when
northeast.
Right, I'm just explaining the Gemara, but I know. So the Gemara assumes that Bavel's to the north of Eretz Yisrael, and that's why when Rav is configuring his bricks, so he doesn't want to be facing north south. In other words, he wants them facing in an east west trajectory, so that he's not having either his front or his back directly facing Eretz Yisrael. Because he subscribes to Rabbi Akiva. And then, why Abai turned it, I'm sorry, my question is not on Rabba. My question is really on Abai. Why Abai turned it, it's really unclear. Meaning, if he feels that there's no issue whatsoever in Chutz Aretz, so then, right, why did it matter to Abai? So that part I don't know. But Rabban, in defending his own position, says very clearly, look, I subscribe to Rabbi Kiva. So therefore, I feel it's an issue. And that's why he has it configured. In terms of the geography, so that's where it gets a little bit fuzzy, because the way we see it, the way we see the world, so Bavel is not due north of Eretz Yisrael, right? It's northeast. Okay. Anyway, Adkan, let's quickly recap our morning. We spoke about that in terms of accepting good and bad, attitudinally, this is an avoda, it's really hard, but attitudinally, we should be accepting the bad like we accept the good. It's all coming from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's all Min HaShemayim. The famous story, Rabbi Kiva, not being able to find a place to sleep that night. Koman da'avid, Rachman l'tavu da'avid. We talked about keeping our words short and to the point when we're davening. And then a big topic of today's daf, the two yuds of Vayitzer. So when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created, why two yuds? The Gemara offers two explanations. The appendage that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took off in order to make Chava. Was it that Adam and Chava were two entities side by side, both fully formed, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu just separated the two? Or did HaKadosh Baruch Hu take an appendage off of Adam Rishon, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu just created Adam, and took an appendage off of Adam? That was most of the Amud Aleph in today's daf, going over that debate, the machlokes between Rav and Shmuel. Gemara talks about the serious concern that we need to take when walking, making sure that we do not walk behind a woman in setting the Yetzer Hara. And then the Gemara, the bottom of the Amud Aleph, talked about how the various organs are responsible for various characteristics and personalities. Bringing us to the Amud Beis, difficult Gemaras regarding Tzadikim Gemorim, Rishayim Gemorim, and the world was only created for those two. Difficult Gemaras to understand. The Gemara on the Amud Beis also went through the tragic ending of the life of Rabbi Akiva, and the fact that he was Mekadosh Shem Shemayim, he wanted to do it his whole life, and he got the opportunity, took advantage of the opportunity ending his life, Shema Yisrael, Shem Elokeinu, Shem Echad. And then the question of setting up a bathroom in Eretz Yisrael or outside of Eretz Yisrael, and the consideration that a person should not be directly exposing himself towards the Har HaBayis. Does it apply when there's a Beis HaMikdash, when there's no Beis HaMikdash, if there's a wall separating, if you're out of visual sight, if you're in Chutz Aretz? So those are all the variables that go into this discussion.